The Relationship RX Show is brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Relationship RX Show, the place where you get the mental prescription for the well-being of all your relationships, friends, family, and lovers. Join your host, Lisa Hayes, noted author, life coach, hypnotherapist, and mother, as you enhance your relationships using the Law of Attraction. Here's your host, Lisa Hayes.
Good morning or good afternoon, I guess it is. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's show, Relationship RX Show. My name is Lisa Hayes, and I am your host today, and this is the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am excited today about my guest. I guess I always am. You guys hear me say that every week, but this is going to be a very cool interview. I am interviewing Frank Butterfield and the Communion of Light. And I have, over the last few months, become a serious fan of his work. So I'm thrilled to, well, not even really his work, but he can explain all of that to you. And I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to share him and them with you. So additionally, in case you haven't checked it out, Law of Attraction Radio Network has launched, and we are finished with almost a first week of classes, but we have launched the University of Attraction. And what a treat. I mean, we've compiled, I think, a list of some of the coolest experts on Law of Attraction and metaphysics and kind of new slash old thought. And it's just, it's been wonderful. And I haven't been able to make all of the classes in person, but I have listened to some of the archived classes, and they have been phenomenal. So I actually am also teaching a class there. If you are at all interested in the University of Attraction, you can go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction link for more information. And I highly encourage you to at least check it out. It's extremely affordable. It's $11.11 a month, which is pennies, really, for the amount of information that you would have available to you there. So we are going to pause for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with Frank Butterfield.
The University of Attraction. Where else can you take free interactive courses from international scientists, medical doctors, spiritual leaders, and experts in the field of the Law of Attraction? At the university, you will have your personal questions answered, enhance your intuitive skills, communicate with the angels, fill your life with music, and free meditation and hypnosis downloads. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction. The doors are wide open, waiting for you now.
Hello, I'm Melody Green from the Creative Soul Cafe. I can't wait to share with you my new workshop, The Soul's Journey. It's interactive, hands-on, and runs for 12 weeks at the University of Attraction. With discussion groups and weekly modules to download, we'll explore the hidden codes in your DNA and use my new tool, the Emotional Bagua, to help create your success. If you're ready to follow your passionate life purpose, claim your place at the Soul's Journey. Subscribe now.
Greetings, I'm Dr. Bill Path, and I'm the author of the motivational book Moments of Forever. And I'm also excited to tell you that I'm now a faculty member at the brand new University of Attraction. In February and March, I'll be offering a course entitled Discovering the True Power and Importance of Being You. And among other things, I want to talk about the six essential elements for a more meaningful life. Now, if this sounds like something that would be of interest to you, I sure hope that you can join me for these sessions. The first class starts on Tuesday, February 1st. That's 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
The quality of your life is a reflection of the quality of your relationships, but it's always an inside job. As a hypnotherapist and a relationship strategist, I can help you shift your life from the inside out and get the relationship you want your way. So visit my website at www.escapefromrelationshiphell.com. Let's figure out how we can work together to get you the relationship of your dream. And welcome back and welcome to the show, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. This is a real pleasure.
So go ahead and just tell us who you are and a little bit about what you do and tell us about the Communion of Light.
Well, my name is Frank Butterfield, and I live in Austin, Texas, which is a wonderful place to be. And I am a channel. And what that means essentially is that I sit in a vortex of energy and translate that energy into words and actions. And the energy that I translate is called a communion of light, which really isn't a thing as much as it is an experience. So the voice that speaks through me, we call that Paul. And when we're doing what we're doing, which is what we'll be doing here in a bit, we call that just being in the communion of light experience. And I've been doing this the way I've been doing this for 3.5 years, but I've been channeling since the beginning of 1990. And it's just about the best thing I've ever come across. I've done a lot of things in my life, including being very much in the corporate world, doing very responsible things, managing large amounts of other people's money. And now I am working for myself, having a ball, and I don't even really call this working. It's more like I'm playing all the time and enjoying every moment of it, really. And this is another one of those great moments to be here with you and to be able to get to talk to you here today.
Thank you so much. So let me ask a few questions about the Communion of Light and about Paul before we get – I mean, the obvious sort of – comparison would be Abraham, and I've listened to enough of your work and seen enough of your stuff to know that you refer to Abraham often, and I think that, you know, the Communion of Light's work is similar in energy. Maybe that's not even the right word. I mean, the message is very similar, but there's a real uniqueness to the Communion of Light that really kind of sets it apart.
Yeah, I would agree. The references to Abraham have more to do with acknowledging the work that they've laid down or that they brought forth into manifestation through Esther. And for my part, the person I really acknowledge is Esther, who to me has been instrumental in creating an entire new vocabulary, something that existed before in a certain way, but certainly through new thought and things like the Unity Church and religious science and even before them. But what Esther's done in her translating Abraham has really given us a whole new vocabulary. So it makes it really easy for me because I can actually use what she created, just like we do all the time by borrowing words that other people invent, particularly in English, and use that. And it's kind of a shorthand, and that way there's certain things that don't ever really have to be explained because most people coming to this work understand what it is. So that's really great. And one of the things I find really fascinating about this is that oftentimes in the Communion of Light experience, they will talk about being on the leading edge of the leading edge. And what I love about that is the idea of like, okay, we're going to take this leading edge material, and then we're even going to take it further and see where we go with it. And so you'll hear in a Communion of Light in the recordings and the writings, if you know it, you'll hear a lot of things besides Abraham, because you'll hear what I've been exposed to, and that's the nature of being a channel. They tap into the resources that I have available in my mind and then use those in the best way possible to bring forth the easiest and hopefully simplest and most straightforward answer. Although, if you listen long enough, you'll hear some things that are not terribly straightforward, but they're really designed to make you think. And that's really kind of the whole point of it, is that the Communion of Light experience is really about reminding us of who we really are, some of which means to question the assumptions that we've made, even recent assumptions, and see, are they really true? Does that really hold up for me personally? As opposed to just being a concept that everyone says, oh yeah, that's right. Can I actually apply it to my life? Can I actually use it for myself? And I love that part of this work more than anything.
No, I completely agree. And I completely agree about the language. It's interesting. I was writing an article last night, and I was writing about dealing with the tough issues in the vortex. But I was trying not to use the words in the vortex because I was trying to write to an audience that may not have ever even heard the words in the vortex before. There is a language that has been laid down there. And anybody who's ever heard me talk about my first date with my husband, I mean, it's how I knew who he was, like how I knew he was somebody I could be really into, was because I heard him speaking that language. It's like, oh, I know who you are. We talk the same language. So I totally get the stuff about the nomenclature.
Well, and what I love about it is that, you know, I do give credit intentionally to Esther Hicks and to Abraham for a lot of the things that they've given. But I also at the same time know that law of attraction is what's really assembling everything. It's what's really sorting it all out. So there'll probably be something new that comes out of this, and then there'll be somebody who's inspired by this, and they'll create something new, and then on and on and on, and who knows where we're going to go with all of this.
Right, because and it's the asking.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
So
really good.
How does it work? Like, I know that we've all, not all of us, but most of us have seen channelers, and many of us have gone to see channelers in person. And I will fully admit, and so this sort of comes as a great testimonial to your work. I mean, obviously, I listened to Abraham. But that said, I tend to be, and suspicious is not the right word, but I tend to feel some resistance with many, many channelers. But I find great ease in your message. I mean, I find great ease and comfort in your message. So, you know, for whatever reason, that resistance just has completely disappeared, you know, obviously with Abraham and with your message. So, I mean, I choose my channelers carefully. I will say that straight away. But how does it work for you? I mean, are you able to just access it instantly? Do you need to get into some sort of a state? Like, what is the process?
Well, I do access it pretty quickly. It takes about 10 or 15 seconds sometimes. And that's really just me saying, okay, ready, just so that I feel really comfortable. Because, of course, it's really about, as with everything, it's really about me lining up with me. So that's in that space of time, that's all that's really happening. But it's a really easy process. It actually, because I've been doing it so long, I know a lot more about it than obviously I used to. Because and particularly as time has gone by and I do more and more of it more consistently with different groups of people and in different situations, I get to see little bits and pieces of how it's different here and how it's different there. But the bottom line is that after a while, what has happened, and it didn't happen like this at the beginning, but after a while what happened is I began to trust what was going on. And part of the way that I did that, which I think is a real testament to the power of being okay with what is I finally just said, okay, if this is me making this up, fine. I don't care. I like the way it feels. I like what happens. I like what I hear when I go back and listen because I can't hear it all the time when it's going on. And my perspective of it is different than what it's like when I'm listening to the recording. But if that's just me getting into some sort of altered state of consciousness and inventing some things, I'm okay with that. Because the proof really is in the pudding. The proof is in, does it feel better? And I know that the way this all works is that people will be drawn to it because it feels better to them. And that's really the bottom line. So beyond that, I used to be really concerned about it. But beyond that, I'm not terribly concerned about it anymore because I've just seen the same thing happen so consistently. One of the things that I love about this is that I can go back and edit audio and I can listen to several days of different things, you know, just whatever I'm listening to or whatever I'm working on. And it's amazing how I can chop things that are several days apart from each other and they sound as though they're just right next to each other.
Right.
When I began to realize that, I thought, oh yeah, that's not me because I don't always sound like that. And I don't have the consistency that I that have I don't have the consistency in my personality that comes through in this work. One of the most interesting things that happened this summer, I was on a road trip and went mostly in the Northeast U.S. and Southern Canada doing different workshops, and one of the places I was in was New York City, which is where my best friend, who I've known since we were, I don't know, 14 years old, and so 30 years, essentially, he came to see me do what I do for the first time ever, and he's very skeptical. I mean, the best way of describing him is he's more like an agnostic Buddhist. He's very skeptical of all things, and his response was, I didn't hear you say anything I've never heard you say before. And I said, yeah, I can believe that. And he said, after we talked for a while, he said, yeah, but the one thing that is different is no matter what anybody said, you never reacted to it. He said, and I know you, I could watch you get upset when it doesn't sound like you're upset, but I know when you're getting upset. And there were people who were pushing buttons that would normally push your buttons, and you just were like sitting there as if they were talking about nothing. And I said, yeah, that's one of the ways I know that something different is going on, because I don't react to what people are saying, hardly ever. And if I do, it's over on the side, and it's not really noticeable. So it's the one thing I would say about all of this is that it's an unfolding process. It didn't just happen overnight. But it's always getting better. Always, always, always getting better.
Well, and I think, like you said, the proof's in the pudding, which was kind of the proof for me. I mean, the proof for me, and I, this may be personal to everybody, I'm sure it is actually, but the proof for me is the way it feels. And the way this message feels to me is very authentic and very real and very inspired. And I'm kind of with you. I don't care where it comes from. Like, I really don't. It's like people, somebody said the other day, and I thought about it actually with respect to channeling. It's like somebody said the other day, I don't see what going, you know, what good it does to go and get a massage. Like, I don't really see how that heals you. It actually just makes you feel better for a little while. And I was like, well, that's the point. I mean, who cares? Whatever. It makes you feel better for a little while. But there's something very uplifting in this message that is pretty remarkable. So I do want to talk to the Communion of Light, but I want to make sure that before we even get started with that, people know where to find you and how to connect with you so that as we finish, we don't have to like jog back and forth between Paul and Frank and Paul and Frank. So where will people find you after they listen to this interview and they can't wait to connect?
Well, there's a really simple way. There's a wonderful website that we've got, communionoflight.com. And if for some reason that's difficult to remember, just Google my name, Frank Butterfield, which is an easy name to remember, and you will notice that I'm not the exercise specialist in Las Vegas who has my name, but I'm the other person who will be on the front page of the first page of Google when you Google that name. So it's really easy to find, Frank Butterfield or just communionoflight.com. We have a wonderful page on Facebook where we post lots of little goodies, and there's all sorts of different ways to connect. I do offer private sessions, which I love, and I really recommend them. They're a wonderful investment in time. And we also have an online community called The Village, which is a wonderful, easy way to connect. It's like going to a workshop several times a week if you want to. You don't have to. There's a massive audio archive that we're building day after day after day that's just getting bigger and better. And there's an online forum where you can connect with folks. But mostly what The Village is about is having almost near instant access to non-physical energy if that's what you want right in the moment. And so that's something to also explore. That's all of that's on the website, communionoflight.com. So, and I'm looking forward to connecting with your listeners, and anybody who does reach out, be sure to mention that you came from the show, because I'd love to connect with you in that way.
Good. All right. So how do you feel about getting started with the Communion of Light?
Always ready. This sounds like a great time.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, indeed, and we are very much enjoying entering into this Communion of Light with you, and we are finding ourselves quite pleased and quite honored to be connecting with you in this way. And we are wondering what questions you're having for us this day.
You know, when you're in the face of like infinite intelligence, it's hard to know where to nail that down. But I guess I just want to like start with love life in the pursuit of happiness. Like I want to talk a little bit about really love and relationships and how that all fits in and in our physical world.
Well, first, we would want to say that all relationships are really the same relationship. It looks like you're having different relationships with different people with differing degrees of intimacy and connection. But in fact, you're having the same relationship with you, capital Y-O-U-U, that shows up in just all these wonderful different ways throughout your experience. And so, in a way, we could say you're having a relationship over and over and over again with different people, but really that relationship is with you and your inner being, your higher self. So when you are exploring the deliciousness, because there certainly is a whole heck of a lot of deliciousness to be had in intimacy and in connection with other people, when you're exploring that, it gets a lot easier, doesn't it, when you remember, hey, what I'm seeing is me. I don't really know what's going on with them, and I can't fix them, I can't control them, I can probably try to coerce them, but that's going to be a temporary thing. It's not going to work out in the long run. So if I'm just realizing that I'm in a relationship with me, that sets me free, and by the way, it sets everyone else free, for me to have a really wonderful, amazing, opening, always evolving, always expanding relationship. And we think that's a very good use, if you'll pardon us for saying it this way, that's a very good use of your time and energy and focus and intention while you're here physically focused.
So, which makes perfect sense, and I think that most people would agree on some level, but then where do you go with that when you're dealing with relationships that are troubled or bad or ending?
Well, first of all, when you're looking at a relationship and you say, look, here's something about this relationship that I don't like, the first thing that we like to say is, if you can find a way to just realize what's happening here is something I don't like. Something as simple as just saying that, and saying that quite honestly and with integrity with yourself, as opposed to saying, well, if he would do this, and if she would do that, and then if they would do this, and then if these people could get together and do this thing, and then if somehow or another we could figure out how to get from here to there, then I would feel better. You can bang your head against that wall all that you want to, and many of you have developed very clever ways of doing that, but it's never really going to work out. You're never really going to feel better because someone else does something that then makes you feel better. You might change your mind for a moment about the way things are, but energetically, from an energetic perspective, that doesn't really change anything. What does change, and what makes a huge, huge difference, is when you realize that this relationship, what you know of it, and what you're experiencing of it, is all your creation. It doesn't mean you're to blame. It doesn't mean you're the victim. It doesn't mean you're the perpetrator. It just means what you're perceiving is your creation. And then if you can, without spending a lot of time wondering how wrong you've been, move on to the next thing, which we think is where all the freedom is, and there are obviously things in your creation that you don't like. And when you just say, I don't like this, that's all that's going on here, I just don't like it, then you're ready for the next step, which is to say, what do I want instead? Sometimes it's going to be easier to move forward with a relationship by not having any visible signs of a relationship. What we mean by that is some people are a lot easier to love and to appreciate and to adore from a distance.
Amen. I say that all the time.
And it's not because you're doing something wrong, and it's not because they're doing something wrong. It's because the ways in which you're coming together just aren't really the kind of connection that really feeds you, that really feels like an expansive source energy kind of experience. So there's a lot of freedom in that for most people, isn't there? Because they are trying to always figure out how to get to where that person is or how to get that person to where they are, which is like moving a stone uphill. It just, you can probably do it for a little while, but eventually it's going to roll down on top of you. So you might as well just realize moving stones uphill was someone else's idea. Maybe very well-intentioned people, maybe your parents, your teachers, your colleagues, your schoolmates, your friends, your beloved, whoever it is, someone else thought it would be a good idea to work really hard to make this happen. But if you really pay attention, and many of you are afraid of this because of what you think it means, if you really pay attention, you'll notice that every relationship has within it the ability to transform not itself, but rather you. And not transform you because you're somehow broken and need to be fixed, but rather the keys to all of your freedom can be found in everything that you've created. So in the relationship that's in front of you, there's something in there that's a gift for you. And when you receive that gift, if you understand how energy works and the metaphysics behind all of this, when you receive a gift, you're giving the opportunity for others to receive a gift as well. You don't know that they will, and you can't figure out how to give it to them or to make sure that they get it. But you can free yourself, and when you free yourself, you're giving other people the opportunity to do the same thing. You've all heard it said that if you really love something, set it free, and if it comes back to you, it's yours. And that's another way of saying what we're saying. Because you don't own other people, and they don't own you. You don't even really own your relationships. What you own is your experience of them. And if it's something that supports you, and you know this, you always know this, it just sometimes is a while before you can actually admit it to yourself. But if it supports you and it nurtures you and it feeds you, then you know you're on the right track. If it feels heavy and burdensome and difficult, many of you will try to work very hard to fix yourselves because you think that's what needs to be done. But often, what's really being asked for is to free yourself from, not from the aspect, not from the fact of the relationship. We don't mean running away from things that you don't like, but to free yourself from the perception that you have that somehow you've got to do it right or they've got to do it right.
And, you know, it's interesting because I work with a lot of people who think, and I'm trying to find the right words because it's going to sound like I'm being flippant, but I'm really not. I think this is a really serious thing. Like, just because it feels bad, that's not a good enough reason to leave it behind. That we're sort of socially programmed that if you're in relationship, and particularly romantic relationships, that you claw and fight and struggle. And there has to be like an offense that's committed that's big enough for that person to get their ticket out of a relationship that it's somehow selfish to say, this doesn't feel good to me, so I'm going to let you go and love you from a distance, that's selfish, or it's half-assed. It's not trying hard enough. And
well,
it
is selfish. It's definitely selfish, but we want to put a capital S on selfish, meaning higher self selfish, inner being selfish. It's definitely selfish, and we would recommend that would be your primary motive for everything. Your connection to you is, from our perspective, is the most important thing that you have. The most important relationship you have is the one you have with yourself. Everything else follows that. Part of the reason, and there, as you know well, there are many different reasons why that thought is so powerful and why, or rather, not powerful, but prevalent. The thought that you've got to claw and you've got to grit your teeth and you've got to get right down and do the work. Because you can, all you have to do is turn on the television and they will tell you. Important relationships are hard. Important relationships require a lot of work. You're going to cry an awful lot. You're probably not going to really get what you want, but that's okay because your partner is not going to get what they want either. So you'll both get to suffer together in this sacrificial vehicle, which is great because that actually matches the religious perspective that so many have about that spirituality and religion and that sort of transcendence require suffering. So this is just part and parcel of the same thing. but it doesn't hold up to a lot of inspection. In other words, if you begin to look at it from a non-physical perspective or a metaphysical perspective, you can see pretty quickly how that whole concept doesn't actually pass muster at all. The concept that sacrifice is required for things to be good doesn't make any sense, because when you begin to realize, hey, what my focus is doing is bringing me more of what it is that I'm focusing on, and I focus on sacrifice, well, I'm just going to get more opportunities to sacrifice. I'm not going to get that transcendent moment that I'm expecting, no matter how hard I do. But I might tire, and this is what happens so often, I might tire myself out enough to where I finally just throw my hands up and say, I can't do this anymore. It's just completely grinding me to dust. And then everything changes. Because when you stop trying to do it, when you stop sacrificing or being in that place where you're trying to be the perfect one or the good one or the one who leads everyone out of the darkness and that sort of thing, and you just give up, then all of the things that you've been wanting, that you thought that all that sacrifice would bring you, including in those very intimate relationships, begins to come to you. And the journey was not about the sacrifice that you did. This is the way it's often framed, isn't it? That the journey is about how you worked, collapsed, and then it happened. And on retrospect, that journey is often framed as saying, I did every single thing that I could, and then I just gave up. And there's a belief that you have to do every single thing that you can. And we say, actually, no. It's not going to make very good movies. It's not going to make very good stories. It's not going to sell books. It's not probably, it might, but it's not going to sell books the way that books are sold now. And it's not going to sell stories the way that stories are sold now. But the moral of The Wizard of Oz is the clicking of the heels, not the yellow brick road. That's the story, and the power is that she had the power to go home anytime. But she just didn't know it. And she wasn't open to it. No one would tell her, because she wasn't a match to that. She thought she had to go on the journey. From our perspective, everything, the really important stuff, is what's happening in the last 30 seconds. When she clicks her heels and she does go home, and then she realizes she never left. And that's really the story here, because it's not about how you worked hard and you suffered and you melted the witch and you got her broom and the flying monkeys and all of that. It's about the clicking of the heels. It's about what happened right there at the end. That's true in every relationship. That's true in every aspect of anyone's life. Allowing, giving up, is one of the most powerful things that you can do.
Yeah, and we have allowed ourselves to be trained out of that in a very large degree. It's like people will take great pride in how hard they worked at something, or how much they suffered something, or how long they put up with something.
Well, and we want to also say, along those same lines, if anyone is listening to our words about this, if anyone is listening to this conversation and they're getting irritated, this isn't the time to be giving up. Turn it off. Move on to something else. That's our recommendation. If this is irritating you, if this feels like we're talking about pie in the sky and it's complete nonsense, go to something else. That's the true abundance of the universe. That's the true abundance of the universe. In other words, we're not the only message. We're not the only messengers. And we're not trying to get them to turn off your show, which is quite delicious and quite wonderful. What we mean is, don't try to fit in even into our picture. Even though we're coming to you from a non-physical perspective, and it is our intention to give you the broadest possible perspective that we can. But even that is still limited, because it's being translated into words, and we can't give you the entire picture because your focus is narrow by definition. And that's great. That's wonderful. So don't throw out, as it were, your parents or your teachers and replace them with us. If it feels better to be with us, then go with us, and we're happy to have you along with the journey, and we find that very delicious. But we're not here to replace one limited teaching with another, slightly less limited teaching, because we're not teachers at all, for that matter. But what we do love is that when you want to come and sit with us and be in our experience and be in our vortex and have a delicious, wonderful time, all sorts of really fun things can happen. But they're coming from you, not from us.
Well, which makes perfect sense. I mean, stating the obvious from the law of attraction standpoint, when you're focused on something that's light and delicious and expansive, you're going to get more of that. And I think that is a big part of what I see as not the work, because I don't like that word, but the process in relationship. It's like it's always about getting focused on what you like and what you want. Always about that. And it's maybe so much more tempting to focus on the things that are irritating you, but it almost seems lazy to default to those negative places.
Although you can tell us this certainly, you know that if you really sit down and you say, okay, today I'm going to have a day where all I do is that which feels better to me from where I am. When you're really doing that, there's nothing lazy about it at all, is there?
No, not at all.
Conceptually, there is. In other words, we could understand why it would seem that way from a distance, but when you really sit down and you say, all right, I'm going to be awake for the next 18 hours, and in these next 18 hours, what I'm going to do is I'm going to deliberately move into each moment with great intention. Doing so lightly, doing so with a light touch, but I'm still going to do so. After about 10 or 20 minutes of that, it will gain a momentum indeed. But you'll know it's very delicious, but there's nothing lazy about it.
Well, so one of the things I've heard you speak about before that I'd like to spend some time on, because I love the way this feels to me, is how when you make that kind of commitment that everything in your environment is there to support you.
Well, it certainly is, because everything that you've called to you, which is everything that you can see, we know that's a rather radical notion for some, but if you'll just bear with us for a moment, your entire physical universe is more like a hologram than it is like something real and substantive. We don't call it a hologram because it's not quite exactly right, because you haven't quite figured out how to take your hand and move through balls. Someday you might figure that out, but it doesn't matter if you do or not. But the walls and the tables and the chairs and the people have about as much substance from a non-physical perspective as a hologram does from a physical perspective. So people and things and situations and experiences are assembling themselves according to your focus. When you have spent a lot of time focusing on how difficult it is, because that, by the way, was something that was easier to do once upon a time. And there's a very good reason why you did it, and you knew you were going to do it before you got here. So we don't consider that to be a bad thing. We just say, well, after a while, you begin to realize the futility of it, and you're ready to evolve into something different. So, but if you go through the day, and you're just focusing on what feels better to you, and after a while, and it won't take long, and we mean literally 10, 20, 30 minutes at the most, with a little bit of persistence, not a lot, not gritting your teeth, but just saying, no, what I really do want to do is feel better right now. That's really what I want to do. Just saying that to yourself again and again. After a while, you're going to begin to realize how everything, while nothing has changed necessarily on the physical, that everything in the physical now is supporting you. Because what you have done is you have transformed your vision of who you are, and therefore everything that you see, because your relationship with you is first. When you change your relationship with you and you say, I just want to feel better, then law of attraction will bring you evidence after evidence after evidence in a matter of seconds, not hours, days, years, but evidence after evidence after evidence about how what you're wanting is now happening. And you will become delighted quite easily with the smallest, most trivial things, because everywhere you turn, you're going to see something that feels better. Now, you might come across something that knocks you out of this awareness, and that's okay. If you can understand that this is something that's easy to pick back up, and that it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong, what it means is you just tripped over something. It's like stubbing your toe while walking across the living room. It's nothing really more significant than that. you've tripped over something, and now you've fallen out of your vortex, as we like to say, because your vortex is just your relationship with you. So you've knocked yourself out of that. That's all right. You're just going to dust yourself off and get back in. It may take a little while because it may be something that you're really, really, really accustomed to having a very out-of-your-vortex kind of experience with. So that's okay. So then you just turn your attention to something else, or you go along your merry way, and eventually, in a few minutes, maybe hours, maybe days, but again, it won't really matter. Once you get back into your vortex, you're going to see the perfection of how, even when you weren't in your vortex, there was something very delicious happening that was helping get you back in your vortex. Because literally everything around you is conspiring to help you get there. Because the entire universe, not the physical universe, but the physical universe is a part of this, but all that is has but one goal, which is the expansion of all that is. And another way of saying that is love has one goal, but more love. That's all that it wants. And so you have the ability to say, I'm going to pretend that I'm not part of that. And I'm going to pretend that I'm separate and apart, that I'm broken, that there's something wrong with me, that I can't have the love that I want, that my partner is not being with me the way that I want them to be, that my beloved is somehow different than what I think I should have. I can pretend all of those things, all that I want to, because I am a powerful, powerful creator. And so I will develop stories that support that assertion. But then when you say, all right, I'm ready to let go of that, it's a lot easier to let go of it than it is to build up to it. It doesn't seem that way sometimes because you have years of practice with separating yourself apart and with feeling as though you're broken or disconnected, or that you have to work hard and make someone proud or get approval from others to demonstrate that you're doing the right thing, whether that's your spouse or your beloved or your parent or your child or whomever. People perhaps not even alive still. But you're thinking, I've got to get their approval. I've got to get what they said that I must do before I can have what I really want. And when you realize, oh, I can have what I really want now, I might not have the physical aspect of it, but I can have the feeling of it, which is the vibration of it right now. And vibration precedes experience. So when you get on the vibrational beam of what you're wanting, which is what we're talking about, just finding what feels better, then your physical environment will begin to change. And it might not actually even change, but your perception of it will definitely change. And then conditions themselves might change. And certainly, you've all had the experience of when you finally decided, all right, I don't really care what the heck's going on here. I just want things to get better, and I'm not going to work so hard. I'm at the end of my rope. And then physical conditions themselves actually shifted. Someone that you had been hoping and praying would actually change their way of being with you shows up in a way that you were not expecting. That makes it a lot easier for you to be who you are. And it's not that they changed to accommodate you. It's that you changed, and then, of course, your experience had to follow.
So, okay, I'm gonna ask a kind of sort of off this particular subject, but not really to me question. Are you ready for maybe an odd question?
Oh, we're ready for any question.
How do you refer to God? Or do you?
Well, we talk about God constantly. We just don't ever really use that word. There are two reasons. One is that many of you still think of God as being a man who's sitting on a chair in the sky, surrounded by clouds, with a long beard, and who's got a book, and he's keeping track. What we find very interesting about the idea of God is that for many of you, God is somewhat of a cross between Santa Claus and a father.
Right.
So we don't really want to advocate for that position. And what we mean by that is quite simply, we don't want to activate that awareness. We're not interested in that because we know that that is a way of dealing with reality that for most of you, in fact, if you're talking with us, we know it's almost completely true. that it just does not function for you anymore. It doesn't work for you. It actually is a very limited perspective. But when we are talking about source energy or all that is, we're talking about God. When we're talking about you, we're talking about God. When we're talking about the beasts of the planet, we're talking about God. When we're talking about the planet itself, we're talking about God. When we're talking about your creations, we're talking about God. When we're talking about evolution, expansion, love, peace, joy, freedom, abundance, prosperity, anything that feels better to you from where you are, we're talking about God. Because God is what you call God, is all that is. But it cannot be quantified. It cannot be limited. You can perceive it, and your most powerful way of perceiving it is through you. And by that we mean you can find evidence of it out in your physical universe, because it really is everywhere. But you can't find evidence of it until you line up with it within yourself. And we're saying it. What we really mean is you with a capital Y. The you with a capital Y, indeed.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That was rude. But and it's interesting because personally, I have been having like this conversation with myself. Like, I know how I feel about what God is. And the last little bit, I've been having a discussion about what it is that I name God, like how I refer to that. And people will say source or the universe. And I don't know if either of those has felt right to me. And for the same reasons you described, the word God doesn't feel quite right to me either, but I loved it when you said all that is, like that caught my attention. But from that perspective, then where do you come down on prayer?
Well, we have really, and we're going to play with you just a little bit, but we have really no opinion on it, because what you're asking us is, it's as if what you said is, what is your opinion of speech? Should we speak or should we not speak? Or what's your opinion of oxygen? Good or bad? In other words, prayer is something that you're doing all of the time. When you think a thought, you're praying. When you speak, you are praying. When you move, you are praying. Now, you consider prayer to be something that is from you the lesser to God the greater, and that's the part that we think misses the mark. Because there is no God the greater, and there is no you the lesser. There's just you. You and you. You in relationship with you. That may seem like to be a big stretch from a religious perspective, and it is, although in religion you will find all of these things that we are saying. They're just not the most obvious things that are talked about a lot. But in almost every major religious text, you will find evidence of this, such as the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's a very good example. Or I have come to do these works, and you shall do these and greater too. That's a very good example as well. But that's not the part, that's not, we could say in a very modern sense, that's not the sexy part of the New Testament. Because
it could be, though, because I think that, you know, self, when I decided that there wasn't Grandfather God sitting on a chair up in the sky, that was a very lonely thought for me for a while. Because, you know, I always thought I had company. And it was the Grandfather God sitting in a chair in the sky. And in the absence of that knowingness, that was lonely. But then I think the sexy part is exactly just that, that the kingdom of heaven is within you, that the power is within you. It's not that the power doesn't exist, it's that it's inside.
Indeed. And we would also say that we understand why it feels lonely, because the construct is from, it's not from an infant, because an infant is very clear about these things. If they could speak, although they wouldn't deign to speak, why should they? They don't need to, because you're all doing everything that they want. So they don't really have need of speech. That comes later when they finally decide, all right, I'll stick around, I'll talk. And not all of them want to, and so not all of them do. But there's a certain point when you are a child, and for each person it's going to be very, very different, where you want to know that as you go out into the world, that you can put essentially your parents in your back pocket and know that they're always going to be there loving you. And one way that's very easy in your specific culture to do that with is to have a grandfather God sitting on a chair somewhere, just as you said, a benevolent father-like figure who is looking out after you. The only problem with that figure is that sometimes he gets angry and does things like destroy cities. Kind of a problem. Because that's not, if your actual grandfather was setting off nuclear bombs in cities, you probably wouldn't be terribly happy with him. But that's essentially what this God in the chair does, if you take part and parcel from what's coming to you culturally, and not everyone does, obviously. So it will feel alone because it was there very, that thought was there very specifically to help you feel connected. But you outgrew it. You evolved past it. Now, and we can say this and you'll understand what we mean, even if you haven't directly had the experience. Now you can go outside and run your fingers through the grass and feel completely connected to all that is. Now you can look inside. You can look inside the eyes of your beloved and see God staring back at you. Because you know what you're looking for. And even this is a limited thought, and it will change, it will evolve. But it's certainly more expansive than the remote grandfather who's up in the chair somewhere, hopefully listening to your supplications.
Right. So, that led me to another question, and I lost it, so I interrupted you for no reason. I will say we have about 5 minutes, and I want to hear what you have. What do you have to say for me in the last 5 minutes?
We love that question because then we can get up on our soapbox and we can say, look, you are perfect exactly as you are right now, including the parts that you don't like, and including the fact that there are parts that you don't like. All of this is quite perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. This also applies to everyone that you know, everything you know about, every situation you don't like. Even getting a glimpse, you don't have to completely understand that or even completely agree with it, but even getting a glimpse of the possibility that might be that very thing might actually be true will change your life. We guarantee that. We're not saying what it will change or how it will change or that it's guaranteed to make you the next lottery winner and have the most perfect spouse you've ever known, living in the most beautiful house with the most perfect children, on and on and on. That's not what we're saying. But it's the key to understanding the nature of your reality and how you are the one who is creating all of it. It doesn't make sense to say that you are the creator of your reality if you think that there are things that are happening to you randomly, or that people are attacking you, or that there's a chaotic nature to this universe. When you begin to realize that you think a lot of thoughts, and you've been thinking a lot of thoughts for a long time, some of which you don't like, and then you begin to look at your reality and say, I did create all of this, but there's parts of it that I don't like. That's as close as we know, and it may seem like a very strange thing to say this, but that's as close as we know for you to really come into contact with the non-physical aspects of you that are surrounding you and enfolding you that you are temporarily disconnected from. So that you can experience the physical universe in the way that you do, so that you can see the colors of the rainbow, and so that you can taste what chocolate tastes like, and you can have the best sex that anyone has ever had anywhere, and that you can hold a child in your arm, and you can feel what it feels like to put your hand in a big box full of flour. These are things that are not available to you from a non-physical perspective. You can remember having done them, but you cannot experience them non-physically. You need to be narrowly focused in order to experience that, because otherwise color just looks like light. And taste is all good, and there's no contrast. So you came here for the deliciousness. You came here into this physical universe for the deliciousness of it, and that even includes the things that you don't like. We're not saying you've got to start liking the things that you don't like. We're just saying acknowledging that you don't like them and not making yourself wrong as a result will release you from a whole lot of what you now use to imprison yourself with. We can't think of a more delicious place to be than standing right where you're standing right now, realizing this is the most perfect moment, even the parts that I don't like, that I've ever created, and it's going to get better, and I cannot wait to see what comes next. And we thank you very, very, very much for inviting us to this conversation. We've so very much enjoyed interacting with you in this way and connecting with you in all of the different ways that we've done so. And until the time that we are able to connect with you again, we bid you a very fond farewell.
Oh, thank you. I have sat here for the last hour and shook my head up and down. Yes, 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 yes. So thank you. Thank you very, very, very much for being here today. And thank you, Frank, and hope to have you on again sometime very soon.
Thank you very much. That was really wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Blessings. And we will see everybody else next week again for the Law of Attraction Relationship RX Show.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again next week with another great episode of Relationship RX. For more information, go to escapefromrelationshiphell.com.